So this guy at the bat is my good friend Nick.
Hi, Nick.
I'm gonna tell you something. Big alcoholic. Great alcoholic, you know, and I tell you, first thing when Victor asked me to speak, I asked Jim, am I ready, Jim? Oh, yeah, you're ready, Nick. I go, all right, I'll give it a try. You know, I tell him, I talk a lot of shit, but it's all right. You know, me and Jim joke a lot, and I appreciate him being my sponsor, and Victor's the one that got me to be a secretary. And I tell you, 1/13/24, my sobriety date. I'm Nick from Nipomo, California, born 1965. But I tell you, my life is manageable now because of you guys. And I tell you, my kids are excited for me for being sober. And I tell you, I come a long ways. I'm the youngest of 10, and I tell you something, my life was crazy growing up. All my brothers drank, and my dad drank, but I didn't think they're alcoholics. You know, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I worked for the garbage company for 25 years. All my friends drank after work. You know, we get started work at 6, get done at 2, we drink till about 5 or 6. Every day. For years, you know. Sometimes I come home drunk, you know. Me and my wife will fight. I'll go up to the bars again. I'll stay till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Come home, she won't open the door. I'll sleep in the truck. Same clothes, get up, go to work the same day. I wouldn't go inside. You know, and then come back and apologize. And I did that for years. And you know, now it kills me right now. It hurts me right now because now I told her, you know, when I was talking to Jim, doing these steps here, and he goes, you gotta make amends to everybody you hurt. And I told her in front of her mom. Her mom was in the living room and she was in the kitchen eating that. She lives in Fresno now with my kids, you know. She moved on and we got divorced in 08. Lost my dad. Lost my wife. Lost my family. Lost everything. But now we're talking, you know. I'm just going back and forth. But anyway, we're talking now, and I came my mint to her, and she started crying when I told her that. She was eating with Nick, you know. I go, thank you for giving me my beautiful kids, and, you know, I'm sorry what I done to you. I know I hurt you a lot. My mom was in the living room. She heard everything, you know. And she started crying. It's okay, you know. And I seen it in her, you know, and I took off, I left. And I told Jim the next day, I made something happen because of you. Because I was coming to meetings, you know, first thing, I'm gonna tell you how I got here. I went, my daughter came down to visit from Fresno. And she came down to visit me and the grandma in Oceano. And we went to Jocko's, we ate dinner. That was the last time I drank. At 1/13/24, we ate at Jocko's and we ate dinner and drank. Then she dropped me off at Bill's in Oro Grande. She went to Grandma's house, and I think I stayed at Bill's all night, drinking and drugging and taking no care in this, you know. Singing karaoke all night, and they closed, then went to the store. Me and my friend went to the store, got 3-pack of Budweiser's, and I went underneath the bridge and drank it. He went his way, you know, my right took off. I wandered all Grand Avenue. From Old Royal, walking the streets, talking to myself. What the fuck am I doing out here, Lord? What am I, you know, talking to God. Even though I was drunk, I was still talking to him. And I walked all the way to 13th Street gas station. I ended up there at 6:30 in the morning. 6:30 in the morning, and I seen a friend of mine getting gas. I go, hey, I was tired, I was beaten. I was sober by then. I was sober. Walking all, and I was sober, and then I asked her to give me a ride to the Nipomo. She was, no, I can't. I got to take my son to AA over here in Oceano. And she goes, oh, George Lopez lives in Nipomo, so let me call him. So she knows him. She called him because that was her son's sponsor. And she calls him, and he goes, yeah, you tell Nick to stay here 1 hour, and then I'll give him a ride. Yeah, I'm here at the meeting right there in Oceano. That's all it took. Since that day, I thank God that he came into my life. And it was my daughter. I told my daughter, you know what? You're my guardian angel. You're the one that pushed me. The last drink was with her. And she's my youngest. I got drunk with my other kids before, you know, my oldest daughter. My other son, Christopher, he don't drink. I never got drunk with him, but the thing is, that was it. That was the deadline of my life. That was the beginning of a new beginning for me. And I love it. You know, I love it. Cause I love it every minute of it. I got to know people here and know names. And the first time he got here in Georgia, he gave me his coin here when I barely met Georgia, you know, the week after. Because she knew I'm a spiritual man. I always talk about God is a spiritual thing. And I call these my 12 commandments, you know. And, but the thing is, she gave it to me. And I made a necklace. And I wear this every day to remind me. I don't forget where I come from. You know, thank God you guys didn't meet me out there in the streets. You know, I'm a crazy Mexican. I know a couple of them. Shelly knows me. Shelly, we see each other out there, you know, but look at us now. I thought Shelly. Then Shelly the other day gave me a bunch of tools. Asked me, called me, hey, you want some tools? Yeah, let's go. And then she gave me all the tools. I took her to dinner. And that's beautiful because, you know, I'm at service here now with everybody. And I love my life now, you know. I'm kind of nervous to talk, you know. I've never spoke like this before. It's only old, you know, podium meetings, 3 to 5 minutes, that ain't shit. But these minutes right here, you know, I was hoping now I was going to go another 10 more minutes, you know. Because I tell you, this time, but see, this time is critical for me, for my life. I remember one time when I was drinking so bad on my birthday, I was married, and I got so drunk with tequila, the cazador, and I didn't have no more. I went down to the neighbors, got 2 more bottles. I got so drunk, you cannot believe it. I was outside. My brothers and everybody left. I was on my knees outside by the water hose. You know, I was outside so drunk. And my wife with the water hose. You better get your ass inside, because you know, I'll close the door on you. I ain't going to let you in. But those are the times that I remember. And I tell you, that was that other guy, though. That's not this guy no more. And that's what I love about him. To tell you, I'm very spiritual. And then yesterday I went to a Bible study. It was that's the journey that I've been going every Wednesday. You know, and I loved it because we had like a potluck. Everybody brought food. And we ate and we broke bread. We even ate. We had like church. It's like church, you know, the last day. Because this guy's going to Seattle. His daughter's sick. She has cancer. And that was the man that was running the journey group. Neil, and he brought pizza, the other guy brought some adobo, the other guy brought some barbecue chicken. It was good. We all ate like kings. And after a while, you know, we all, you know, took pictures and everything. He told us all to sit down in the front, all of us. You know, I can't believe what he was telling. And he brought these Tupperwares with the red towel. And now those two guys that ran that meeting washed all of our feet. There was about 12 of us, 13 of us. Washed all our feet and gave us that thing here. Take that home with you and remember this journey that you had. It was about a year and a half journey. We're in this book. I go, wow, you know. And then he gave us a coin. Like I got a coin here. I got a coin from them. It was the armor of God. You know, a little coin. And I got it in my car, like a keychain for like my friend Kimberly. She gave me a keychain too, and you know, something like this. But I tell you, it's the things that I'm doing right now. That this is happening to me. A spiritual awakening is happening in me right now. And I understand it now because God's calling me to do better things for me and my life, my family. And when I came in here, I found a new family. I'm being of service, I'm trying to barbecue whatever I can, help, you know, the people here like Raul. I told Raul when I met him, hey, you're doing a good job with Raul. We got our problems here and there, you know, different people don't understand what's going on, but we're trying. That's all we're trying to get better at what we do. And I'm learning how to read more. I never used to like to read. I never read. And then when I had Jim to be my sponsor, I first asked Mark, you know, Mark, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, he didn't have no time. So then Matt too, I tried to have Matt. I was lost, you know, and I found this guy. This guy got patience with me, and he got time. And that's a good thing for me because, yeah, I'm always busy. I go to morning meetings and I'll hit the Nipomo. I call him, you know, I should call him every day, but I don't. But, you know, he's patient with me and I'm getting it done. Like, if you would have told me, Nick, you're not ready to speak out here, I would have said, okay, fine, Jim, I won't. But Victor, you know, I don't know. He thinks I'm doing something good up here. And then Tom would have fallen asleep over here, I don't know. But see, this, I know name now. See, I know name. But that's the beauty of being here with a new family, you know. And the way I become a better man at home. You know, the people I work for too see a big change in me. Like my boss Tom Martin, he lives in Nipomo. He was a CEO for the garbage company for a lot of years. And when I was working, and he see every Tuesday we're at his house. It was called Happy Hour. It was choir practice.
Choir practice.
Yeah, all the neighbors come, but they had bottles, and he would buy me a big old bottle of Jameson in Coke. And I had a bottle, and I was there every Tuesday, and after that, he would drive me off at the orchard place. I was off, Bell. For a long time. Now I don't even go to the meeting no more. I was all drunk, and then he'd give me a little bottle to take with me to go over there to go play horses. Man, and I'd be driving drunk. You'd be driving there. Or sometimes you'd drop me off. But I don't do that no more, and I don't go to the choir practice no more. But the thing is, it's a bunch of old people, you know, they're choir practice. They're practicing how to drink. I don't know. They drink wine. Some ladies drink wine, but they all bring hors d'oeuvres, you know. Like it's like a little thing. That's what he calls a choir practice, because all the neighbors get along, and he has a nice home, and he comes and they all eat and they, you know. But I don't go no more, you know, and I tell you, and he goes, yeah, I know why, Nick, you know, and I'm proud of you. And I go over to work, there's also a lot of, getting a lot of work. But the thing is that I wouldn't have been if I hadn't been here. I still go play horses, I still talk a lot of shit, though. I tell him how it is, you know, and he goes, man, you're more crazier now than when you were drunk. Because I talk a lot of shit the whole time. And I'm a better player, too. We got a good crew down there playing horseshoes. It's every Wednesdays and Thursdays now because, you know, they change the schedule of their work. And this guy barbecues every Wednesday for us, you know. He's a nice guy. He buys everything. And some guys bring a little bit of, you know, potluck, whatever they bring. But I tell you, my life is manageable now. I'm happy with my life. And I tell you, I feel young here. And when I got here today, I go, man, thank you, Lord. I got all kinds of chicks here. You know, man, what a beautiful one. It didn't matter, you know, that's what I tell everybody. And I go, I have not dated one here yet. And I don't want to lose my friendship here either. Probably somebody to date here, because that, you know, if it happens, it happens. But I'm telling you, that's my thing, you know. I was down there, I go, man, now that I got tired of the adventure, I got to go to the Orchid, you know, the Orchid meetings over there, the St. Louis meeting. That's my journey, you know. But see, I heard they got karaoke over there now, see, and I want to go. I want to go sing. I'd rather sing over there than in the bars, because I haven't been in the bars in a long time. I cuss and talk a lot of shit on the mic. I could rap. I'll rap. I've been riding a rap about this 80, you know. That's why, but I tell you, one day you're here. But at the end, I love the fellowship. And my family's grown, I tell you. I got a lot of people in Nipomo too, they celebrated my birthday last, you know, for being 2 years. Jim Healy invited me over there and they got a cake for me, gave me a hat, you know. And it was cool there, you know, because they still see where I came from and I don't forget, because I'm really from Nipomo. And they had the meeting at 6:30, and there was two of us. There was one, he was 35 years, his name was Nick too. And I was for 2 years, and I go, man. And when we shared our you know, us, and then we picked, you know, like his birthday, and then we were like leaders. And he picked that guy to share after that, and then after he did, I picked him. And then he picked him like that, because there was a big group there, too. It was cool, you know, it's something different for me. And there's one kid that I know very well, that I touched his heart from his A18. And he's got 4 years clean, and he goes to the meetings in Nipomo and in San Luis now, and he's Brandon. And he got a necklace like mine too, because they gave him a coin, and he went over there at the word of a jeweler that did this and made a necklace for him too. You know, and it makes me feel good, because you know what? I don't forget where I come from, and I come from a nice place. I'm more here at home, because when I was in Oceano, the place over there with George, he picked me up. And take me every morning, 7 o'clock. I was there 7 o'clock every day with George. You know, and now I started over here walking over here to the meetings when I moved to Santa Maria. and I had a bike. And now I got a van, I got a car. I don't have my license. That's what these things work for me. I got my license. I got my life back. A little fatter with the donuts that Jim brings, I don't know. But the thing, I'll keep coming back as long as I live. I want with Jim. I want with Bob guys. Look at all the years Bob guys. He's an amazing man in the history that's here, that the knowledge that's here with the people and the smiles that everybody's smiling here. They're not mad at me. He took my fucking joint. He took my beer. No, fuck no. They're here happy, you know, like in the bar spot. But the miserable people in there. And I've been in a while, but yeah, I tell you, I remember the times. You know, fuck, guys talking shit. I didn't even drink their fucking beer. That other guy beside me drinking. You know? They're talking shit. You buy me a beer. Go fuck you. Yeah, I didn't think you drink your beer. The fuck? Or before I sing karaoke, I had a big old freaking line of crystal. Big old line. Go sing karaoke. If I want to stop talking, I want to stop singing. I wouldn't want to give him the mic back. That's how bad I was. And then that's all I drink. Jameson and Coke, and sometimes Modelo's, you know. But how am I drink Jameson and Coke? A line of Coke, and I, you know. What I thought was a nighttime, you know, during the day. And I was a hypocrite, too. Bad. I had to go to church a lot, and then 10:30, I had to go at 8. And then 10:30, I go get a bag of crystal. Go to work with a bag of crystal, make money, and then... Got dark, I went and got a bag of Coke. Another bag of crystal. $50, you know, bag and $50. And then go to the bars. And that was my lifestyle. And my sister and my brother. And that happened, it was when my dad died and my wife left me. You know, in 2008, but 2012, I got crazier. I got stupider. And that was, my sisters were always my brothers. Because my brothers, you know, they drank. They did their thing when they were younger. But I never did that. I never got stupid out in the, you know, I never did that at all. And my old brother always said, yeah, you're a late bloomer. I go, yeah, better late than never. You know, and then I got tattoos. I never had tattoos when I was a kid when I married. And I want tattoos, and I started getting tattoos. And I designed this one right here. But the thing is, I love my life now that I'm in here. And it's AA. Can I tell you out there, I still see my friends that I had to give my shit from and get drunk with. Yeah, and I don't see, like, people, places, and things. That's what changed my life. New people, new places, and new things I do. I'm there, I leave my house right here in Santa Maria. After the meetings, every day I go to meetings, and I don't come back till it gets dark from the Pomo. And then I come home, shower, and go to bed. Get up in the morning. And then when I have a car, Mike, my good friend Mike. And I got to talk a little about him, too. He got a big heart, you know. And then when his wife passed away, you know, it took a big toll on him. And I was at a meeting. I remember at 1600 Club, and he called me. Hey, Nick, my wife just passed. I go, hey, Mike, you want me to go, Mike? It was barely 8:15. You want me to go be there with you? He goes, yeah. I showed up, and then Victor showed up about half an hour later. And, you know, Mike, and he gave me a big old hug, and he goes, thank you, Nick, for coming. And then ever since that, you know, before I'd be borrowing his truck, you know, because I didn't have a car. And then I primary his truck, and I met his wife, too. I got to talk to his wife and stuff, you know, and Mike talked to her a lot about me. And I tell you, Mike changed my life, my friendship, too, you know, being a good friend. And that's a brother that, you know, we're all brothers in God's eyes. But I tell you, he touched my heart because the way he taught me, he showed me, you know, you never need a ride, whatever you need, Nick. And I borrowed his truck for a while. I tell him borrow one day, I borrowed all week to get back to on Friday. You know, with gas in it, or, you know, and then I primered, my brother primered the hood and the top, you know. But the thing is, I love my life now, and I love what I'm doing. And I talk about it, you know, I talk about it everywhere I go. He asked me, you want to drink? No, I don't drink no more, you know. I'm doing it today, and then my sister, that I don't talk to very much, to Coral, she texted me the other day, and I'm proud of you, brother, because I wouldn't go visit them, and she wasn't there, and we're close. She's the one that showed me how to dance with her kids. We were dancing, me, my brother, and her, we were kids, you know, and she goes, I'm proud of you, what you become, you know, because she's seen me at my worst. I'd always borrow money from all my family members, and I wouldn't pay them back. need to get some drugs and some alcohol. And, you know, I didn't care. And now I'm starting not to cuss too much, but on Wednesday when I go play horses, that's the only day I cuss more than the whole week. I do, because they talk a lot of shit, and I cuss a lot, too. But I'm slowing down. I'm catching myself. I'm catching myself when I'm cussing, you know. I feel like I say when I cuss, I go, "Forgive me, Lord. I won't cuss no more." But it still comes out. I fucking hate it. But that's who I become, you know. I become a better person, and I'm happy and joyful for being here. And thank you for asking. That's all I got. Okay, thank you. You know.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah, thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
That's some deep sharing tonight. Let's give both of them a hand. Thank you.